No, I think that it's by asking you questions that I'm able to involve you in the educational process there.
Oh.
All right. There are two stories. Whose side are you on, anyway? There are two stories in chapter 4. First story, as you will recall, is the story of a woman who cried out to Elisha, telling him that my husband, your servant, is dead, and you know that Avdecha, I'm reading from the beginning of chapter 4 again, Vato Yadato, you know, Ki Avdecha Hayor Yoreach Hashem, your servant, feared God. From this, of course, as we had pointed out, this is how our rabbis noted we're talking about Ovadia, because Ovadia had been described as the one who was Yoreach Hashem, who feared God. The creditor has come to take my two children, Lola Avodim, and to him as servants. The creditor is Yehoram, the son of Achav. Yehoram, the son of Achav, is the one who lent Ovadia money on interest, took interest from him, and here it is, Ovadia dies young, leaves a wife and two children. And here she is distraught. Vayomer Eleha Elisha. Elisha said, Ma eselach, what shall I do for you? Hagidili ma yeshlach babayit. What do you have in the house? So she said, Ein l'shivchach, kol kol babayit, your maidservant has nothing in the house, kiyum asuch shemen, either a little jar of shemen or a little smear of oil. Vayomer, so he said, L'chiv shali lach kelim and achutz, go borrow all sorts of kelim from outside, from your maize, called Shchinaya, from all your neighbors, kelim reikim al tamiti, all sorts of empty kelim. Don't skimp on it. Uvot v'sagart adelet, you should come and close the door. Badeich behind you, ba'ad banayach, and behind your sons. V'yotzakta al kelim. And what did I point out when I said this word v'yotzakta? I said you should remember the word v'yotzakta, because remember what was. How was Elisha described in the last chapter when the three kings are out in the desert without any, without water? And Yehoshaphat asked, is there a prophet here? And somebody told Yehoshaphat, yes, you know who's here on the front lines? Elisha asher yotzak mayim, the one who poured water on Eliyahu. There's a lot of yitzika, a lot of pouring that comes from Elisha. So here again, we come up against this word again. He tells her, V'yotzak tal kol ha-kelim, pour on all of the kelim, v'ayla v'hamole, and when he gets full, tasi, move it away. V'atelech mito, she went from it, but tizgo ha-delet ba'adal bi'abba. But now, she closed the door behind herself and behind her sons, hey magishim ala, they're giving her kelim, v'hi motzaket, and again, she is pouring. From Elisha comes an outpouring of blessing. By he came lot a kelim, as the kelim became full. That Tomer el Benos, she said to her son, Hagisha lai od keli, give me one more. By Yomrei la, he said, ain od keli, there is no other vessel. By Yamod Hashamen, and the oil stopped. That Tavov et Hagid leisho lekim, she came and she told the men of God. By Yomrei, he said, lechim nishli et Hashamen, go sell the oil, the shalmi et nishet, and pay your creditor, the atu bonayach techyi banotah, and you and your sons will live with that which is left. This is the end of the first story. The last thing I was saying at the end of the shiur last week is the following. That in this story, what really comes to the fore in this story, in a sense, in all of its sharpness, what's brought into sharp image over here is a man who was God-fearing, a man who put his life on the line in order to provide for the 100 prophets. And here his wife and his two children remain destitute, distraught. Zu Torah. Is this Torah and is this its reward?
Is this the way God rewards those who are so God-fearing as Ovadia?
And of all things, she remains with... She has nothing. She has nothing. I believe there is a medrash that says that she cried out to her husband before he died, "What's going to be with me?" And her husband told her, "Don't worry." Yeah. Says the following medrash says that Haytamit Paleshed B'Kivrosh El Balo, she prostrated herself over the grave of her husband, and she says, "Adoni, Adoni, my master, Heichon Haftachat Chali, B'Shat Shechalit, Chalita, the time, what happened to the promise that you made at the time that you took ill, Uvamato, and you died? Kasher Amarti Lecho, when I said to you, L'mi Ata Ozevoti V'Chnei Banai, how are you leaving me and my two sons? Va'ator nitali, and you answered me, Shedipon ha'olam yed bitchoni, the master of all, he should be your guarantor, have bitachon." He's telling her, have bitachon. You know, in this perek, it's going to be important in this perek, because we're going to see what bitachon means and what bitachon can accomplish. So he tells her as he dies, he tells her, you know, have you talking about it? Of course, obviously, much easier said than done. But the question that we pointed out, the question that stands before us, I mean, just stares us in the face. Zu Torah, the Zu Schora. Tzadik Vidalo. Why is it so? Why do things go badly for the... What a tzaddik. For the good people, the righteous. Yeah. You have an answer?
I was going to ask you a question.
Oh.
The only one that ever happened to Shlomo HaMelech.
What happened to Shlomo HaMelech?
The only one that really had a good and easy life was to look at all the apples and look at Moshe and look at...
That doesn't answer the
question. No, it doesn't answer. I'm saying...
Yeah, but... Yeah, but the question, of course, is... Yeah, right. Yeah. But the question is, and this is a question, as the Gemara says, Moshe Rabbeinu asked the question, when God appears to him on the mountain, he asks him, why is Tzadik the Ralo and Rosha the Tofla, why do things go bad for the Tzadik and go good for the Rosha? Habakkuk is going to be important. Habakkuk is one of the 12 minor prophets, and he's the one who says, Lama Tid'eh Kivala Rosha Tzadik Mimenu. Why do you watch God as the Rosha swallows the one who is a tzaddik? How do you do this? And it was Eov's question. The whole Sefer of Eov is dedicated to this question. The fact is that we never read... Huh?
Can I ask you something? The Torah says in Ben Kumantas, the Kedah Bonah, Kedah Bonah, Kedah
it says lo yumtu avot al banim ubanim lo yumtu al avotam. We hashofet kol ha'odet lo yaseh mishpat. The judge of the whole land will not do justice, and therefore the Gemara says, when does God visit the sins of the fathers upon the children if the children go in the footsteps of the fathers? Otherwise, though. An unacceptable answer to the question of Tzadik Vadalo, Rosh of the Tovlo.
Tzadik Ben Tzadik Vatovlo.
Alright, okay. I do plan on getting through Perigdala today, do you understand? And nothing will stay me from my course, exactly.
On both senses of the word.
Oh, well, listen, by the way, when I ask questions, sometimes they're rhetorical. When I want answers, I will... All right. What we said was the following. Because we asked another question. Don't answer this one. We asked another question. The other question was, a woman needs support, sustenance. We have people who come to us every day. Do I make miracles for them? If I could, do we make miracles? Do we perform miracles? Why didn't Elisha simply say, okay, we're going to make a campaign now for the almana ushnei boneha, I'm sure that if Elisha would have gone to the 100 Nevi'im whose lives were saved by Obadiah and would have told them, fan out across Eretz Yisrael and raise money for the almana of Elisha, guaranteed, the almana of Obadiah. Why did he have to perform a miracle? Is this the way you support people through miracles? Yes, I know what you'll say. You know, every time we're able to succeed in a campaign for funds, it's a miracle. I'm talking about a miracle. You're not supposed to rely on a miracle, right? Why doesn't Alicia simply say, you know, well, we'll send out letters, we'll have a breakfast and for the why didn't her neighbors help her? That's a good question. I'll tell you, I could say, remember the first pasuk of the chapter says that she cried out to Elisha. She may not have told. No, no. I said it says that she cried out to Elisha. So she says, yes, she didn't cry out to God. What I meant is she cried out to Elisha that she didn't go to her neighbors. She was embarrassed of going to her neighbors. So she went to Elisha. I have to be able to look at things. I think that the pasuk is not telling us that she didn't cry out to God. And you know, I'll tell you something else. An almana with two yesaimim doesn't have to cry out to God, because Hashem will listen. Ki im tzaok yitzak shamoa eshma tzakot. The Rebbe Yishom has to hear it. It's his responsibility. No. She hasn't told her neighbors. I would want to believe that if she would have talked with her neighbors, the neighbors would have done precisely that. So she's embarrassed. She's ashamed. She's frightened. Remember, you know who her creditor is. The creditor is the king himself. She's in an extremely difficult position. So she cries out to Elisha. So why does Elisha make a miracle? That's the question that we ask. And we wanted to answer both questions together. Elisha has to bring a miracle now in order to sustain this woman, so that the sharpness of the question, why does this woman suffer, is in a sense diminished. Because what we're talking about is a woman whose husband devoted himself, gave his life for the prophets of God. How does God leave her in such a desperate and destitute position? There's evil that's happening over here, and God remains silent for the evil. In order to remove the sharpness of that question, it has to be counterbalanced by the miracle. And the example that we gave was Shoah Utukuma, the destruction of the Shoah. Jews emerged from the concentration camps with the question, where is God? Long comes the establishment of the State of Israel, which is, while not the answer, but it already takes out the sharpness of the question. If you don't know where God was at Auschwitz, he's alive and well in Eretz Israel. The miracle comes in order to balance out the difficulty, the philosophical difficulty that is experienced by virtue of the fact that this woman is suffering. Second question, I didn't deal with it last week, but I want to deal with now. Why does the miracle depend on something she has in the house? The Navi asks her, what do you have in the house? So she says, I have nothing in the house, except she remembers that she has a jar with a little bit of oil. So first of all, of course, there is a substantial difference between a miracle that is wrought by God and one that is wrought through the hands of man. Only God is capable of bri'ah yesh me'ayin, to create something out of nothing. That's only God is capable of doing that. And Moshe Rabbeinu, who is his direct shaliach, is going to be doing that in all of the parashiyot that we are learning. The Navi does not have the power to create something that is completely new. What he has to do is, he can bring a miracle, but the miracle has to be rooted in the natural. There has to be something here. It means, therefore, that the power of the prophet is limited. Why is it limited? There can be two reasons. There can be two reasons why it is limited. That's a fine point. I like that. So that they shouldn't see the Navi as a deity of some sort. Ein chodosh tachat Hashem is very good. There's nothing new on the face of this earth, which means the following. The fact that a Navi is limited, a prophet is limited, and can only bring a miracle when there is something to begin with, is in order to differentiate between the endless and limitless power of God on the one hand, and the limited power of the Navi. The fact that the Navi is dependent on something so that the bracha should begin. What it really means is the following. The miracle that is wrought by the prophet technically should be called bracha more than nes. What does bracha mean? Bracha means that there's blessing and something, you know, you put money in the bank and it grows. And then it grows. So there is something of the natural involved in this. In addition to the fact, there's something else. I always say, Ness is something that I could make the mistake of thinking that it is somehow or other within the realm of the natural. This is something that can always leave us with a doubt. Was this really a miracle, or was it, some kind of bracha, some kind of blessing that comes in nature? The act of God is an act of absolute defiance of nature. The Navi can work only within the confines of nature. At this point, I really made it look as though, you know, the Navi is limited in terms of his, in comparison to God, he is limited. God can make something out of nothing. The Navi needs something with which to begin. But on the other hand, there's also a blessing involved over here. The blessing involved over here is, you know what the Navi is accomplishing by a miracle that is rooted in nature? He is making it clear to the beholder that miracle is built into nature. Nature itself is a miracle. Yeah. What's the difference between nature, Nes, and Teva? All of the Gedolei Yisrael have said it, the great thinkers of, great men of Jewish thought have always said, what's the difference between Nes and Teva? The only difference between miracle and nature is its frequency. The birth of a child is not a miracle. A miracle from a little nothing grows this most unusual and complex organism of all. That's not a miracle. The difference between that one, a birth of a baby is a bigger miracle than the Nes Chanukah. You shouldn't be, excuse me. Sure, what are you talking about? No, so if I slug in a jar of oil lasted for 8 days, understand? Well, it was more potent, you understand? It was concentrated, wasn't diluted. Birth of a child is a much greater miracle. The only thing is, it happens with such frequency that we lose sight of the fact that it's a miracle. A miracle is something that's unusual. You don't every day see a jar of oil. How long does a tank of gas last? And by the time the tank of gas is finished, the price has gone up already by another 40, 50 shekel. What the Navi is doing by virtue of the fact that he's bringing the miracle from the little bit of oil that's there, you know what he wants to teach us? He wants to teach us that miracle is built into nature. Nature and miracle are not separate and distinct from one another. They don't inhabit two different spheres. Nature is just another dimension of miracle. Now, nature is a miracle, except we don't see it. The problem is not in nature to differentiate. In other words, in order to differentiate between things that happen often and things that happen very infrequently, we call one teva nature and the other we call nes. But it, as a matter of fact, both of them are miracle. That's what, both are miracle. That's what the Navi is doing. He wants to show this woman that built into nature is the miraculous. And one more point. One more point. Do you know what the Navi is teaching us? He's teaching us that nature has a morality all of its own. There is morality. God, who created nature with a sense of morality. When it is necessary to provide for the almana and the tuch and her two sons, the morality, the ethics of nature comes to the fore and provides for her. I'm just beginning to remember a shir of Rav Soloveitchik from many, many years ago. Can man defy nature? Man is going to step off the Empire State Building. I've dated myself. That's the biggest building I remember. There have been a lot of bigger ones since then. A man is going to step off the Empire State Building, and he says, "Listen, there's a law of gravity. I'm going to defy it." I remember when he said it. Of all the strange things, the Aseret HaDibrot, the Ten Commandments, begin with the following pasuk: Vayedaber Elokim et kol hadvarim ha'ele lemor. Elokim said all of these things. What's the difference between the name Elokim and the name of God, which is the four-letter name Yud Kei Vav Kei? Elokim is nature. Elokim is justice. Yud Kei Vav Kei represents God's mercy, His compassion. Yud Kei Vav Kei represents the personal and intimate relationship between God and man. But Elokim represents nature. Often I have told you what the Chachmei HaKabbalah, men of Jewish mysticism and Hasidut, Elokim, the gematria of Elokim, the numerical value of Elokim is Hateva, nature. Elokim represents nature. Here, of all things, the one time in all of history that God appears to a people and tells them His law. This is the most intimate, most personal kind of communication of all. If there is anything which demonstrates God's closeness to His people Israel, it's the fact that He comes down from the very heavens to the top of Mount Sinai and He speaks to them. He never did it before or afterwards to any other people. So you know what the pasuk should have said at the beginning of the Aseret HaDibrot, by Yedaber Hashem Yud Kei Vav Kei. God, who's close to Israel, speaks to them and He says, "Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I'm your God." Why does it say Vayedaber Elokim? Elokim spoke. Said the Rav that pasuk comes to tell us that just as there are laws of nature, and man can only defy God's laws of nature at great personal risk. I'm going to walk into fire and nothing's going to happen. I'm going to walk off the Empire State Building and nothing's going to happen. Of course that's nonsense. Just as you cannot defy God's natural law, so too you cannot defy God's moral law. God says, "Lo tirzach and lo tigno, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill." Then you should know that in the event that you're going to transgress God's words, there is destruction built into to nature. You can't defy His moral law. Man, of course, makes the terrible mistake of thinking that, yeah, I can't defy the law of gravity, but I can do all the avedas that I want.
Vayedaber Elokim. Elokim is saying, no, I have built into nature, I built into it morality. The world and nature are going to stand up and destroy the one who defies my law. Yes.
What nature will do?
Yeah, all right. Bahayam Shema Tishmu. You get, yeah, right. In other words, nature and morality, nature and Torah are interrelated and interconnected. What the Navi is showing this woman is that there is morality in nature. Nature knows that it has to provide for you. Therefore, he brings the miracle as a result of the fact there's some oil over here. That oil knows that it has a debt of and a responsibility to you. If he would have brought the miracle completely separate and distinct, removed from nature, never learned that. He wants to prove that nature built into the system is that nature is going to ultimately provide. Do we know when and under what circumstances? Do we have an answer to the question of Tzadik V'Ra'lo, Gosh V'Tov? No, we don't know how it works. We have absolutely no way to know how it works. So the... all right, that's really all I want to say on this story. We have to go to the next story. Yes? Did she need the Navi to do this? Did she need the Navi to do this? Yeah? So what are you asking? Why did she need the Navi? Why couldn't she do it herself?
Why couldn't
God do it directly? Wait a minute. Maybe the pshat is that God has his messengers and Elisha over here really is God. All of a sudden it occurred to me. What's his name? Wait a minute. I just asked a question. What's his name? Elisha. Eli Yesha. My God is the one who brings salvation. That wasn't a political comment. Eli is Yesha. That's what Elisha is saying. Elisha does not represent the fact that he as an individual, he's the great bringer of miracles. He is the extension of God's hand. Ben Shaphat. How have we always explained Shaphat? Shaphat represents returning the balance into society and into nature. The balance in society requires that this woman and her children should be provided for. And Elisha represents God on the face of this earth. It's not the point of making Elisha, you know, a great Navi. That's not the point. Next story. I'm going to need your help in the next story. Not too much. I'll tell you exactly what I need to help. The Isha Achas, Minishay B'nei HaNeviim, there was a woman who was the wife... No, where am I? I'm sorry. Vayihi Hayom, Pasukei. I just turned my page over backwards. Can't go backwards. Forward, onward and forward. Pasuk 8. What? All right, okay, so I'm a little confused. Vayihi Hayom. A day came. Certain day, Vayavor Elisha el Shunem, and Elisha went to Shunem. Shunem is a city east of Haifa, on the way, the beginning of Emek Yisrael. The Shom Isha Gedola, there was a great woman there. I believe we're going to have to deal with what's the definition or the description of an Isha Gedola. What's an Isha Gedola? I mean, obviously we would say she was respected, she was known. It may very well be that she was wealthy. By Yitzchak it says, Vayigdal ha'ish, vayelech ha'ish, holoch v'godal me'od. When the Pasuk describes as his wealth began to grow during a period of famine, he becomes great. I don't think that that's really going to be the full meaning of that she was a wealthy woman. We'll see. But you've been learning Eov, it says, Vayihi ha'ish ha'hu gadol mikol b'nei kedem. He was greater than all of the people of the East. He was very wealthy. We're obviously going to come down to what the Zohar says, so I may as well clue you in on it. Gedola b'ma'aseha. She was great in her deeds. We're going to have to analyze this woman. Yeah, so what does chashuva mean? What makes a woman, or for that matter, a man? Don't take it personally. What makes somebody chashuva or chashuv? What is it? We have very few, I don't think there's any other description of a woman in Tanakh in this way. Isha gedola. Vatechazak bo lecho lechem. She got hold of him, figuratively, not literally. She got hold of him, lecho lechem, that he should come in to eat bread. Vayihin, it came to pass, midei afro, as he would go by there, yosur shama lecho lechem, he would turn off and he would go to her house in order to eat bread. Vatomer el isha, she said to her husband, hineno yodati, I know, ki ish elokim kadoshu, that this man is a man of God and he's holy. Over aleinu tamid, he passes by all the time. She knows. Yadati is an extremely important word. Now I'm with you. The husband doesn't seem to be aware of the fact that there's a great man and a holy man passing by here. Who knows this? Who has been able to penetrate and see? And we're not talking, she doesn't say, hineinu ra'iti, I've seen. Yadati. Yadati is a great deal deeper. There's something she knows. She knows, I don't know, call it intuition, call the fact that she's watching him. She does not know him because he has performed any miracles. He has not come by with any kind of a reputation. She knows that he is a holy man. Nasenna aliyat kir ketana, let's make a little attic with a wall, a room in the attic. We'll place for him there a bed and a table, a chair and a lamp. Later, whenever he comes to us, Yasur Shama. Yasur Shama. Yes. Yeah, we said it. Avishag HaShunamit. We said it. She was a sister of Avishag HaShunamit, who was the one that was brought to David.
That could have been part of her promise.
For greatness. Okay, a famous family. Even though it's sort of course said that they chose Avishag because she was very beautiful.
But she also came from a good
family. All right, I'm a even kings look for yichas. Yeah. I'll just throw something out that I don't have have an approach to it, but I somehow or other it makes. It's important to me. There's a word here that's been used a number of times, and it's a word that has bothered me for many years. Don't try and come up with off-the-cuff answers now. Which word? Vayihimi de avro yosur. Hine nasa v'haya b'vo elenu yosur shama. Yasur Shama. Vayihi Hayom, Vayavo Shama. The next pasuk, the day came. The Vayihi Hayom is also difficult. By the way, when I ask questions, I don't always have answers for them. Most of the time I do. Now, you know why the. Moshe with the snare is where it bothers me more than anything else. And over the years, I've come up with pshatim, and I'm not. Let me read to you what it says in this week's Sedra. By the snare, God appears. Moshe sees the burning bush. Vayoma Moshe, Osurana. I'm going to turn from here. I want to see this great vision. Why doesn't the bush? Why isn't it consumed? The next pasuk is what up. I don't understand it. I say I've had pshatim over the years that have not satisfied me. Maybe now that I've just taken it off my chest and I told you what bothers me. So maybe you'll think something. Look at the next pasuk. Let me read the next pasuk. Vayar Hashem. God saw kisor lirot, that he had turned to see. Oh, because God saw that he had turned to see, God called to him from the snare. And Rashi, is Asurana. Rashi says, when Moshe says Asurana, please, I want to turn there. Asura mikan, I want to turn from here, lihitkarev sham, to come close there. Pray tell me, what in heaven's name is Rashi telling us? Asurana, what could it have meant? I'm going to go away from it? Asurana, I'm going to move from here, lihitkarev sham, to come close there.
What
the hell
that you were planning to go? In
other
words, this is a kavod thing
just one moment. No. Sur always means the opposite. Not to go close to something, to go away from it. When Klal Yisrael are up, when Moshe Rabbeinu was up on the mountain, and God appears, tells Moshe that they've made an egel, soru maher min haderech, they have turned away from the road. As you quote the pasuk, sur meina means to distance yourself from it. And here Rashi says, on surana, I'm going to move from here, lit kadeh sham, to get close there. What do you think was bothering Rashi? That pasuk. Asuranam should mean to distance myself. You hear what I'm saying? And what happens over here is, Moshe is going closer, not further. So how can you use the word? How can you use that word?
It's like Sam said, stopping to go where he's going, and instead of going in the other direction.
Doesn't it mean something negative?
Turn away from the moon.
I just found something now. All right, the whole bunch of you. I'll let you all keep talking. Watch this. Listen to this. In Parshas Vayera. Oh God, this is unbelievable. I'm afraid that it's going to affect the entire course of this shiur this morning. But I'm not going to let it. I'm just going to tell you something, and then we'll let you. We'll let it simmer. The two angels come to Sodom in order to destroy the city. And they saw Lot, and they bow down to him. Vayomer, Lot says, Hineno Adonai, please, my masters, suruna el beis avdechem. Turn, come to the house of your servant, Velinu. Just one moment, listen, I'm going to show you something. Velinu, stay overnight, v'rachatzu reglechem, wash your feet, v'shkamp them, you'll get up in the morning, v'alachtem l'dakam, you go on your road, v'yonu lo, they said, no, ki berachov nolin, we're going to sleep in the street. Pasuk, next pasuk. V'yiftzar bam ma'od, he begged them, very strongly, please, v'yosuru elav, v'yavo el beito, they turned to him, and they came to his house. Listen to what Rashi says, by Yosuru Elav, four words. Five. Akmu et haderech. They made the road crooked, litzav beito, toward his house. You know, they were going one way, and now they're turning the other way. What was bothering Rashi over here? Losur really means to move away. That's what's bothering Rashi in both of these Rashis. The Rashi here and the Rashi in Shmos. Losur is a negative word. Yes. Go ahead.
So
you know.
It's
a good example. You know what it means? She might be assuming distance himself now from the enemy as quickly as possible. The enemy are most probably on his heels, and he knows that. Because he's going to tell her that if anybody comes to the door of the tent, tell them that nobody's here. So when she, it works, fits in very well. Suru, in other words, the road that you should be traveling is further away. And instead of going further away, you're going to do the what might seem to be the wrong thing and turn back in this direction. It's an excellent example. So in other words, sur really means to go away from. And in these cases, what it means is to lihit kadev. God saw I remember now what I once wanted to say was 16 years ago. I'll tell you later when. 16 years ago. A pasuk to use the word lasur, which means to move away, when we're talking about somebody who physically is moving closer. Do you know what it represents? It represents two emotions or the two thoughts that are competing within Moshe. On the one hand, he is awed and frightened by the what he perceives may be the presence of God, but despite the fact that he's awed and frightened, he wants to get closer to the source of that fear, because he knows that there he's going to find a message, meaning, you know, it represents the being torn. Yes,
on Mount Sinai, was he up there in a very awesome place? Because he might have been very afraid to escape.
His state, it represents the dialectic. Is that the good word? The dialectic going on in the mind of Moshe. It may very well be with regard to a needs nothing from anybody. The idea that Elisha is going to accept the Gemilas Chesed and go into the house and use that room and eat with her is something that goes against Elisha's whole personality. By the way, this Elisha just brought who knows how much oil for a whole lifetime for an almana and her two children. He needs this Isha Gedolah's bread. He's who echad, as they say in Hebrew, who echad me ha homelessim. Do you know what homeless is in Hebrew? That's what it is. The home, yeah, very good. Okay, all right. That means, by his nature or according to his needs, this is not the place for him to go. On the contrary, you know, Yasur Shama, he is turning there. There's something negative about it. He's not doing it because he wants it. He's not doing it because he needs it. The Rebbeinu isn't taking care of Elisha. Elisha's taking care of all of Klal Yisrael. By the way, all of the things that she provides for him, he has provided miraculously over the last two chapters. Klal Yisrael needed water. He provided water. The Bnei HaNevi'im near Yericho needed bread. He provided bread for them. We're going to see later on, there's poison in a soup. He makes the soup. He doesn't need anything. There's something against his nature. In other words, that's what I said 16 years ago with regard to that pasuk and this sedra. I'm not sure. I'm just saying that there's something about it. Strange word. Yes?
Does it have something to do with temptation? You know, I mean... I don't want to get on the subject of...
Yeah, you're treading on... no, it's not... No.
But I'm saying in a bad way, but...
No. I don't feel that's it. I think it's... No, I don't like... I just don't like that. My... In other words, I should distance myself, like the fire. All right, that's why Rashi is saying I'm going to move from here. You know what Rashi is doing in this setting? You'll see it, right? Asura mikan, I'm going to move away from here. In other words, Rashi wants to retain the real meaning of losur. That over here, he's going toward the snare. So Rashi is reading both words. Osurama means I'm going to move from the spot that I am, and then I'm going to go closer to the snare. What I still don't have, I sort of have it figured out. Vayara. He saw it out. In other words, God sees the hesitation. Now, in a sense, and I think that this is going to be an idea that we're going to need later on in the parak. Kevavke, and he is Elokim. In a sense, the word Losur represents great gulf that separates Moshe and God, but on the other hand, he is drawn to that distant God in order to become closer to him. The unusual use of the word Losur holds within itself both of these ideas. And I think over here also, with regard to the woman, I don't know, whatever reason it is, I believe that the reason is he has no interest in
He doesn't need her Hachnasas Arachim at all. He's passing through Shunem. He has nothing else to do in Shunem. You should know he has absolutely nothing. He has no meetings of the local Jewish community, the Marz Hadatit. He has nothing going on in Shunem.
Maybe he perceives something about her.
I started saying very, and I was going to say good, but I didn't say the good. You know, I didn't say the good because it may turn out right away that she knows more attitude to the use of the word lasur. Three times it's there. I still don't understand the meaning of Vayehi Hayom, the day. What does Vayehi Hayom mean? Okay, so yeah, as I say, not always do I have to tell you everything I know. I think sometimes I have to tell you what I don't know. And you've done very well over here in this discussion, but let's move. Vayomer el Gehazi Naro, he said to Gehazi, his boy, Kerola Shunamit Hazot, call this Shunamit. Vayikrola, he called her, Vatamod Lefonov, she stood before him. Vayomer lo, watch what's happening over here. He does not communicate with her directly. He does not communicate with her directly. The one who's going to do the communication over here is Gehazi. Vayomalo, he said to Gehazi, Emorno Eleo, please say to her, Hine choradit eleinu et kol hacharada hazot, you tremble before us. It's not the real translation, but I'm translating it that way, only to point out the unusual use of the word. Charadar usually means fear unto trembling. That sounds like the title of a book, Kierkegaard, they are good. Charada is trembling, but charada is also used to describe, you know, a hostess with the mostess who moves around quickly in order to provide everything for her guest. You did all of this. Ma lasot lach, what can I do for you? Hayesh ledaber lach al hamelech? Should I speak for you to the king? O el sar hatzavah, do you need somebody to talk to the commander-in-chief of the forces here? That Toma, and she said, betocha mi anochi yoshevet ha'id. I live amongst my people. This is one of the great psukim in all of Tanakh. Betoch ami anochi yoshevet, I'm amongst my people. And if I'm amongst my people, I have no needs. Everything was fine. Everything was provided for. What a stark difference between the story before. What a difference. But the one who's destitute should be undestitute because betoch ami anochi yoshevet. That's right, I mean. Who, the first one? Yes, so, yes, I'm pointing out that there's something happening over here. The woman makes no request of him.
Sorry, I can't say that.
Take it easy, calm down. The woman is a woman who suffered her whole life, this Isha Gedola. She has no child.
But she doesn't worry about money, where her food is coming from.
But she has suffered. I don't know. And what happens if you would have asked her, would you rather be in the position of the woman with the two children who's destitute? Are you certain what she would answer? Boy, you see, I can get tough too. Betoch. Wait a minute. Who? You'll see right away. That's why I got to learn Sukkim. What's even more fascinating that is difficult? I'm going to leave you with a lot of difficulties. So you go home. So you also won't sleep at night because of the difficulties. Hayesh ledaber lach al hamelech. Which king is he going to speak? Who? Yehoram, the son of Achav. You understand? This is the king he's going to speak to. He said, and he's speaking to Gehazi, he's not speaking to her. And what should we do for her? And Gehazi said, Aval Bain Ainlo, she has no son, she has no child, the Isha Zakain, and her husband is old. Now, look at all the questions that arise over here. Why didn't she ask for a son? The Navi asks her, is there anything I can do for you? What? Huh?
She knows the power.
And she knows that he's Ishalokim Kadoshu. And he asks, is there something I can do for you? And you know what I think all of a sudden as I'm talking to you? Maybe the Navi was saying, great. Hayesh ledaber loch el hamelech. Should I speak to the King of Kings for you? Elisha, we're going to see later, his relationship with Yehoram ben Ahav is the worst of the worst. That we're going to see later, it's a terrible, I mean, it's not a relationship. Maybe Elisha's saying, should I speak to the Rebbeinu Shem on your behalf? So she says, no, there's nothing I need. Question number one in this passage is, why didn't she tell him that I need a son? Question number two, why didn't Elisha know it? Elisha has to find it out from whom? Gehazi tells it. And Elisha doesn't know. How come Elisha doesn't know? And Gehazi, we're going to see, is not a great chachka. Gehazi is going to be rejected by Elisha ultimately. He's going to turn into a metzora. There are going to be terrible things that will happen to Gehazi. And this nothing, Gehazi, he knows what the woman needs, and Elisha doesn't know. And there may be another mystery in this parak. You won't mind if we just add mystery upon mystery without necessarily giving you all the answers. You know who doesn't figure in this parak at all?
The husband.
The husband, simply.
He's also lost like a body of
I don't know. All right,
he's
you.
Out of the picture.
He's out of the picture. He's out of the picture.
What happened to Shimshon's father?
Oh, wait. Oh, that's a good example. Go ahead, wait. What are you saying? Oh, no, you said the same thing at the same time. All right. I heard her. I didn't hear you. Manoach. Manoach is, at least he has a name. Manoach has a name. She doesn't have a name, and her husband is just her husband. You know, all of his whole greatness is only the fact that he's her husband. How do you like that? That's really what's happening over here. But all of these, there are answers to all of the questions. Vayoma, so he said, Krolo, call her. Vayikrolo, he called her, Vatamod Bapetach, she stood at the door. She never entered the room. It seems now he speaks to her. Vayoma, he said, Lamoid Hazek Ka'ib Chaya, this time, next year, Mazal Leben in Gezintzaam. Abchoveket Ben, you're going to hold a son. Atome, and she said, Aladoni, no, my master, Ishula came. Please not, my master, man of God. Al techazev b'shifchatecha. Don't disappoint your maidservant. Do you know what's happened over here? What would be the natural reaction of any, of most other women?
Oh, great!
She would prostrate herself on the ground. Vatishtachavu lanovi atayim arza vatomer todah rabah. Right? Isn't this what?
Wait a minute, she never said that she wants a child. The servant said she needs a child.
Okay. What do you think if we would run a Gallup poll in this in the world, asking women who have no children, if a proven Navi of God is going to say that you can have a son, will she be happy or will she not be happy?
I would say it depends on her love.
You know what?
If she is in such a state of depression from being childless that she's afraid that...
I thought you started off bad.
She started off bad,
but she ended good.
Yeah.
Sof machshava, sof meisa machshava tchila. Do you know what happened? You know what's happened over here? This woman has suffered terribly for a good part of her life. And you know what? You know what happened to her? She finally came face to face with the fact that she will not have a child. She made peace with it, and she put all of her energies in to chesed, to tzedakah. And she is finding a tremendous, tremendous amount of personal and spiritual satisfaction in the life that she has chosen for herself. All of her life finally to achieve. Now, and she's already made peace with herself that this is what the Rebbeinu Shlom wants. This is the will of God. And you know why God did this to me? In other words, she's not crying like the woman before, but she says, all right. That's what in the Rebbeinu Shlom's cards, I was not to have a child. He wants me to devote myself fully to tzedakah and chesed. She seeks out people. The Navi never sought her out. She watches people. She studies people. She knows their needs. She knows him. She knows Elisha better than Elisha knows her. Yes.
But I think maybe she doubts his power to give him.
I don't think Elisha is on trial here.
Maybe she knew what will happen.
She didn't know what will happen. She didn't have a clue. I'm saying after you make peace with a certain unhappy situation in life, you don't want it all dragged up again from the bottom of the neshama. And yes, as she said, to raise her hopes and her expectations, she can't handle that. She finally made peace with herself.
She didn't really make peace with herself. She became a Mishra Gedolah. So she really
went beyond
this. So she created a life for herself without children.
She distanced herself from the idea.
She distanced herself from the idea. Tov. Not Ma'od, but Tov. Yes? Wait a minute. Sarah's being very patient here today. Yes.
The only other woman I can think of is not reacted to Sarah Imenu, when the Malachim said and told
her.
Yes. I mean, that was her, but she
left.
She
couldn't believe it. So Sarah couldn't believe it.
And she said, for my elderly husband.
You know, of course, that this is the Haftorah for Parashas Vayera.
Oh,
yeah. I mean, let's not forget that. Yes, go ahead. Yes. One sentence. I'm saying things now that I never said before. It's all new.
Later we see that she says, when the child is sick and he dies, he says to Elisha.
Yes.
So here she knows. She has the intuition,
I'll tell you. Let's go once. You know what I can do? I could, of course, simply fall back to a medrash, and that's always legitimate. The medrash says that she once had a son. Her son was Ido Hanavi. Ido, the prophet, was the one who came to Yeravam when Yeravam ben Nevat was standing and bringing sacrifices on the altar in Beit El, and he was the one who ordered Yeravam's hands to be paralyzed, and they were paralyzed. And then he had been given instructions by God to leave Beit El on a road different from the one that he came, and not to stay or eat by anybody. And then there was some old false prophet who got a hold of him and told him that the word of God came to me, saying that you should come to me. And he listens, he goes back to the home of this old prophet, and then the prophecy comes to the old prophet that this Navi is going to leave from here, and he's going to be consumed by a lion, and that's exactly what happens to him. So she once, according to the Medrash, she once had a son. She had a son who was a Navi. Having a son who is a Navi most probably is enough reason for her to be able to identify Elisha as a Navi. She had already been there. She had and she lost. She didn't want to have and lose again, because she's frightened that she's a loser. That's one way of looking at it, with the Medrash. But I'm afraid in Pshuto Shel Mikra, and remember, Pshuto Shel Mikra, the simple meaning of the text, can be completely different than the Medrash. I go along with the idea that after all the effort that she put in to change something that is so basic to a woman, and to have channeled all of her, a child is that through which a woman is able to of herself. The best, the most natural, the most normal way. She has taken all of those feelings and has now rooted them in society out there. She looks for the homeless, and she looks for the ones who need who are in need, and she provides them. She's made peace with herself. She doesn't want anything to upset it. So now all of a sudden, all of those hopes that she had dashed, got rid of them, put them behind her, all of a sudden they're going to come now to the fore.
But one more thing so important.
Yes, I know that.
So he can make her a son.
So let's simply fall back on the Rashi. Rashi says
give me a, if you're going to give me a child who's going to live.
And what is that word?
Because she already had the experience.
And why is the word ask written with you? Ask for Beck and Beck. Ask.
Ah, very good. Sarah should have asked that question. She let it go through.
Gotta get someone else.
I have a number of ways of looking at it. Number one is E.T. with me. In a sense, God is going to share this child with her. You'll have him, but then I'm going to have him.
Oh, that's right.
It could. I like that. Say it again, much louder. That's right, she said. But more than that, I want to go one step further. I want to say more than that. E.T., Elisha is saying, E.T., a miraculous one for me. We're both going to give birth to this child. You and your husband in the natural way, but I'm the miracle here. It's E.T. together with me. It's not you alone. Let's go. The woman became pregnant, she gave birth to a son, Lamoid Hazakeit Chaya, the same time next year, Asher Diber Elea Elisha, that Elisha said to her, Vayigdal HaYeled, the boy grew up, Vayihi HaYom. For the third time, Vayihi HaYom. I'm sorry, you know what I'm really making certain of? You're going to have to come back next week. There's just no way.
Is there any question you want?
Vayihi HaYom. Vayetzei El Aviv El HaKotrim, he went out to his father, to the coachman, they were harvesting in the field. Vayomer el aviv, and he said to his father, Roshi, Roshi, my head. Vayomer el anan, and he said to the boy, Sa'ehu el imo, take him to his mother. Do you understand you see it, it's so blatant. The father is totally uninvolved. Watch, it's going to become even worse. Vayisa'ehu, And the boy took him, and he brought him to his mother. He sat on her, or she held him on her knees until the afternoon, and he died. She went up, she lay him down on the bed of the man of God. And she locked the door, she closed the door behind him, and she went out. This is the second time that the door is being closed in this parak. The woman with the previous miracle, door was closed. You know who else closed the door? Lot. When they were sore into his house, he closed the door. Now, if I succeed in making a connection between all of them, then you can say very good. But Tikra Elisha, she called to her husband, Batomer, she said, Shilchon Noli Echad Min Ha'ra'rim, please send me one of the boys. And one of the donkeys, I'm going to run to the man of God and I will return. And he said, don't ask me that now. Why are you going to him today? You understand? Her husband asks, why are you going to him today? It's not Rosh Chodesh and it's not Shabbos. From here, the Gemara learns. That it's a mitzvah chayiv, more than that, chayiv adam lahagbil p'nei rabo b'moed. There's a mitzvah on a person to go see his Rebbe on Yontif. That's right, they go Shabbos and Yontif, they go to the Rebbe, they learn it from here. Huh? Or Rosh Chodesh, yes, Rosh Chodesh was also a day. And she said, Shalom. I'm not sure yet what the meaning of Shalom is. He doesn't even ask, how's the boy? Well, he knows that the boy wasn't feeling well, and he told his servant, carry him and take him to his mother. He doesn't even ask what's happening with the boy. I don't think I should ask someone. Shalom. She's not even answering him. And please, don't try to create over here the situation as though this was some kind of a horrible marriage. There was no communication going on. That's not the story. It's not the story. Just let's leave modern psychology out of this. There seems to be an intent over here to leave the husband in the background. The one who has an
old guy can't handle the rain.
So you're doing exactly what I said a moment ago. Leave psychology out of this.
So give us a better answer.
the only thing that I will say at this point is there is a clear intent to project the woman as the Isha Gadola who takes the initiative. She acts with speed, she acts with efficiency, but I think there's more than the what the Navi does. Just give me time to defend.
She doesn't want to say anything negative to give Korach what took place.
That's already, now you're going off. Yeah. So I say, leave Sidus and psychology out of it. By the way, another interesting thing over here is everybody has people doing things for them. It's going to be extremely important in our understanding of the relationship between Elisha and Gehazin. It was, as we will see, terribly important, the relationship between Eliyahu and Elisha. Moshe and Yahushua. Avraham and Eliezer. We don't have that by Yitzchak. But there are very special relationships between people and their Nar. Batach bo shatom atom el Nara. Nahad Valech, go, ride and go. Al Tatzor Lilir Cove, don't stop riding. Ki Omar Delok, unless I tell you. Just go. I imagine it must be a carriage of some sort that she's riding. She went and she came to the man of God who was at Har HaKarmel. I told you, it works out well. I told you, Shunem is just to the east of Haifa. Har HaKarmel was the place. What was Har HaKarmel? That was the place of Eliyahu, and that was where Elisha poured water. When the men of God saw her from beyond, Vayomer El Gehazi Naro, Hinei Hashunamit Halaz, behold that Shunamit, Ator Ruchna Likrata, run toward her, the Emorla, Hashalom Lach, Hashalom Leisheich, Hashalom Leyelet. Say to her, is there peace to you, peace to your husband, peace to the child? But Tomer, she said, Shalom. Second time she says it to her husband, she said, she's not going to utter an extra word. She is not going to pour out her heart to anybody, only to one person, only to Elisha. But Tavo Elisha Lekim Elohar, she came to the man of God to the mountain. But she held on to his feet. But Yigash Gehazi Lahotva, Gehazi came over to push her away. By Yomer Ishulakim said, of course, sir, I'm wondering why you haven't yet begun to ask me why sometimes is he called Elisha, sometimes he's called Ishul Akim. Why is he being called Ishul Akim? I'll take care of that. I'll tell you about that too. Harpela, leave her, ki nafsho morola, because her heart, her soul is bitter. Vashem he'elim mimeni, God has concealed from me, v'lo he gidli, and he didn't tell me.
But
Tomer,
why is he saying her soul is bitter? Didn't know.
He knows that she's bitter, but he doesn't know what she's bitter about. Oh boy, everybody gave her the words. Shkoyach, you're all with me. But Tomer, she said, Hasha'alta bein me'esat ani, did I ask my master for a son? Halo amarti, but I said, lo tashleuti. Don't let me live with an illusion. Don't delude me. I'm ashlaya, this is where it comes from. What I'm going to do is, we're not going to answer any questions. I'm just going to read some more. I'd like you to go over it, and then we'll try and grapple with these questions. He told Gehazi, gird your loins, whatever that means. Take my staff in your hand and go. If you meet somebody, don't say hello to him. And if a man blesses you, don't answer him. By the way, this is nearly what the Rabbeinu Shlom had told, according to the Medrash. Edo, who was her first son, don't stop, don't talk, into the city, out of the city. V'samto mishamti al pnei anam, put my staff upon the child. V'atomer emana, the mother of the boy said, Chai Hashem, Chai Nafshecha, ime ezeka. I swear to God, I swear by your life, I'm not going to leave you. You're not going to let this be done by Gehazi and your stick. She is the one, not only does she take the initiative, she is the one that is moving the Navi.
Yes, Ein Hanar. Very interesting. Good. Vayelech Achren, he went after the Gehazi of Aleph Nehem, and Gehazi passed before he went ahead of them. Yosem HaTamishenet HaPnei Anar. He placed the step upon the boy, Vein Kol, Vein Koshev. There was no sound. You heard nothing. Nothing happened. Vayoshom Likrasov, Vayagad Lo Lema. He returned and he went toward Elisha and he told him, Lo Hekits Hanar, the boy has not woken up. Yavo Elisha, Baita Elisha came into the house, Vinei Anar, Mate, Mushkava Mitato. This was not simply a coma. Here the Pasuk is telling us he's dead. He's really dead. It does not say the same thing earlier when Eliyahu brought the child back to life. In other words, if you're going to start, we're not going to let the Chassidim talk over here, we're not going to let the psychologist, when we're going to come now to what Elisha does, I don't want Magen David Adom, you know, CPR.
But that's what it is. It's said by Yamar.
Yes, so they want, but he didn't know that. He didn't know that. Now he knows it. Now he knows it. By Yishkat, by Yavo, when he came by Yizgah HaDelet Bachnein, he closed the door again.
Yeah.
Behind the two of them, by Yitpalel El Hashem, and he prayed to God. But I want to point out over here, all of the other miracles that were performed by Elisha, he said it, and it happened. Never once do we find that Elisha prays water for the water. Split the Yarden, split the Yarden. Everything he does because he decreed. This is the first time that Elisha prays by Yitpalel El Hashem. But I mean the first time that he prays. I didn't mean that. What I meant the first time he prays for a miracle to happen. And maybe it's important to know, of course, there's a difference between resurrection of the dead than any other kind of miracle. Tchias HaMesim. It's more than against nature. Tchias HaMesim is one of the things that the Gemara says, that key is in the hands of God. He has to get that key from God. He went up and he lied down on the child. He placed his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, his hands on his hands. And he moved over him. And he warmed the flesh of the child. He got up and he went back and forth in the house, walking back and forth. Then he went and he laid down upon him again. He sneezed. Sheva upon him seven times. Vayifkach Hanar Seinav. The child opened up his eyes. Vayikra El Gehazi. He called to Gehazi. Vayomer, he said, Kro El Ashunamit Hazot. Call this Shunamit. Vayikra Ehon. He called her Vatavoy Lov. And she came to him. Vayomer, he said, Si Ibneich, carry your son. Huh? Si? Ayin. Vatavoy Vatipol Raglov. She came and she fell upon his feet, she bowed down before the ground, she carried her child, and she went out. I'm sorry, but I'm going to leave an in-depth analysis of the parak for next week. I'm also going to ask you, it would be very good if you would read over the parak and know the text well. I think that there are a lot of important ideas and I better come up with them by next week. Yeah.
Why was it that Gehazi was so quicker than Elisha himself to help another woman?
He sent him ahead, didn't he?
No, and she went with Gehazi. But it seems that Elisha's right behind her because as soon as he's trying
to
push, why didn't he go as fast as Gehazi?
I don't know. I'll think about it. I got my week too.
Why did he
at first, he thought that his nar would be able to do it. His staff alone. Remember, he's not the only one who uses staffs. Who else uses staffs? All right, watch. There are going to be a lot of connections here.